Hello and welcome to Ordinary, a podcast that aims to help Christians live for Christ in everyday life. My name is Josh Bannister, and each week I'm joined by Graham Nichols and Mark Bentham, both pastors of Christ Church, Haywards Heath. Evangelism is an area of the Christian life that is quite obviously impacted by lockdown. We just aren't seeing people, so it's very difficult to have meaningful interactions that can lead to gospel conversations. But is there absolutely nothing we can do? In today's episode, we think about evangelism in the context of a lockdown.
My name is Graham Nichols.
And I am Mark Bentham.
And my name is Josh Bannister, and you're listening to Ordinary. Welcome back to Ordinary. We are going to be talking again this week about a bit about COVID and particularly about how we can be evangelizing, what it looks like to be evangelizing during a lockdown. It's unprecedented. It's never happened before. So we're all learning, aren't we? But there's certainly some principles that could be helpful. So Mark or Graham, why don't you give us a little bit of a rundown on what evangelism means during a lockdown, do you think?
Good question, Josh. Graham, where
is it possible?
Well, I think it means what it means in other times, but I guess the mechanism changes, so the opportunities change during lockdown. So I think what it means is probably two things. One is do what you can, but I think there's another half to it, which is prepare the ground for doing what you can do later when you can do it.
Okay.
So I think there's those two opportunities. I mean, they're true all the time, aren't they? That we're always preparing the ground as well as sort of directly evangelizing. But I think when it comes to directly evangelizing, we want to do all we can. So then you need to think about the process, and then you think about the kind of messages. So I think the process is pretty straightforward in the sense that you can't physically meet people, so the only way you can evangelize them is by communicating with them by all the other means available, you know, with their limitations that we talked about last week. So it's thinking, can I evangelize by writing a letter, sending a book? Can I evangelize by sending an email, sending a text, posting a video, making a video, sending a video, writing a blog, pointing someone to a blog, or getting them to subscribe to some kind of an online course like we run here, an online Christianity Explored course, another course. So by all those means, would they even be willing for me to read the Bible with them over the communication channel? So using all those means and then thinking about, okay, the messages, perhaps, I don't know, do you want to talk about anything more to do with the means?
Well, I think there's a means there that actually is probably, we have mentioned, which is our neighbours, our immediate neighbours.
Yeah, good point.
I think I've had more contact with my immediate neighbours, you know, kind of day on, than I have done in a long while. You know, we get on with all our neighbours, but, you know, there's lots of little things that are happening. You know, my neighbour next door is, you know, teaching my son how to cook certain things. You know, so yesterday was pizzas, you know, and he's standing at the fence and maintaining social distancing, but they're having those conversations. He's showing him how to chop stuff and how to do so. So in other words, relationships are being built that may then give us opportunities to do so. And that's happening on that direction, but it's happening across the road. You know, as we come out and do the NHS clap, there's a lot more kind of community buzz and feel. So in one sense, I think there's opportunities that aren't often there because people are at home and around, and chance to slow down and have conversations across the road, across the fence. You know, we did a street quiz the other day where we all sat on our driveways, all came with 5 questions, had a little quiz thing together. So you're building community and being involved in that. People are helping one another out. There's now a neighbourhood WhatsApp. People are caring for one another. There's kind of things being shared, you know, where food or deliveries and helping one another. In other words, all of those kind of things build into being able to then kind of speak the gospel along the lines as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think like being just something as simple as like kindness is a type of evangelism, or at least is definitely falls into that category of preparing the ground for later on? So just doing things like checking in with people to see if they need anything, or dropping around some kind of care package, like, you know, some chocolate or some bubble bath or something, dropping that round just because you can, do you know what I mean? And then you're preparing the ground, or you're just those acts of kindness and generosity, I guess, are going to open up opportunities later down the line when you can have them round for dinner or something, and they're more warm to you.
Yeah,
definitely. I think it's a really good point you raised, Mark, about that, because I have exactly the same experience where we already had we're on first name terms, as it were, with a lot of our neighbours, so we know all their names, but the quality of relationship is higher, particularly some of the elderly ones. We've had more conversations, you know, shouted up to the window, do you need anything? We're just going to the shops, going to the pharmacy or whatever. So more of those have happened, but also more just general social conversations, because people haven't got other people to socialise with. They're not rushing off somewhere, and we're not rushing off somewhere. We chat more just generally. And there are opportunities. I didn't take one recently, but someone near me, their friend had died in a home of COVID, and someone else's relative next to them, and they were sort of both chatting about it. So I wasn't really in the conversation, but I was kind of in the conversation. So those actually,
you were eavesdropping. I get it.
Yeah, no, in the sense that they were sort of chatting with me. It was the Thursday night clap, the NHS night. So you're all sort of together, in earshot of each other, but not necessarily having direct conversations with each other. But yeah, loads more of that happens. That's a really good point. Like, there's opportunities in that, and hopefully they'll outlast some of the issues.
And I think, you know, particularly if you already have the relationship, in other words, people know you're a Christian, they go to church, they see you doing that, then I think our witness now is even more important, isn't it? Because how we respond in a crisis, how we're showing love or being sacrificial, is going to speak much more volumes. You know, if we're the only ones on our street not engaging, we're the only ones who are not kind of showing love or checking in on folks or asking how people are, then actually, you know, what does that say? Particularly when those who are non-believers are doing that instead of us. So I think there's that responsibility for our witness. It may not be evangelism in the sense of we are, you know, directly proclaiming the gospel, but we are witnessing in terms of how we're demonstrating love. Are we being Christ-like, or are we being selfish? And I think people know, you know, and people appreciate it. You know, like probably many, you know, we put those kind of through the doors that kind of had our church name on, you know, from Christchurch, you know, if there's anything we can do. You know, those little things that you're just kind of signalling, you know, we're Christians, we love people, and we love you guys as our neighbours, and we're concerned for you at this time. And that says something, even if it's not given us the whole opportunity to. It's a kind of pre-evangelism, putting a stone in someone's shoe to make them think, well, why are they doing that? Well, you know, how? I can see what they're saying, and their faith is tying up in that way. You kind of begin to live out what they think or understand.
Authenticity.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, that's really good. That's really useful. What about, I think, Graham, did you want to talk about sort of something to do with content then?
I mean, not necessarily in every conversation with our neighbours, but I suppose the gospel is always the gospel, and so we always want to explain the gospel and get people to think about Jesus and so forth. But I think there are particular things going on to do with the crisis which we want to better speak into. So issues like people's fear of death, the pressing in of the reality of death, simpler things like the nature of social contact, the need for social contact. Yeah. So that's not so much a kind of, you know, really high value topic, is it? But it's quite a good way in with people to say, you know, lots of people, politicians and so forth, have said, yeah, you know, we want to get back to social contact because we know that we love that. And you think, well, if there's no utility in that, so why do we like social contact? You know, if our families are together so we can, you know, we can reproduce, and the government's paying us money so we can eat, you know, what's the point biologically of interacting with lots of other people where there's the potential for getting germs? And we've kind of realised that. But actually, we will eventually start taking risks again, that we will catch something potentially from people, or might get run over by a bus on the way to seeing someone, but we'll do it because we like social contact. Yeah. And so, yeah, there's lots of sort of lower level ways in that are not immediately, you're going to die, so you need to know about Jesus. But just, you know, isn't that interesting how we are as human beings? or even just talking about the nature of viruses. I can't remember whether it was on this podcast I talked about it, but just talking about, you know, why did God allow viruses? They're a good thing that's been corrupted. I think I might have talked about it on another podcast, but I think I have more science now about the proteins.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah. I think I researched it a bit more and confirmed that it was actually true, what I tentatively, I think, said, which is basically viruses mostly do loads of good. There's loads of bacteria in our bodies and there's loads of viruses in our bodies, and most of the time they're hoovering up stuff and doing really useful things. And so viruses aren't part of the curse. A very small subset of viruses are part of the curse. But, you know, even chatting about that is a kind of way in with people. But then getting to the bigger topics of life and death and what we fear and what we hope in. Thinking, can man solve all of our problems? You know, there's lots of social comment on, you know, newspapers and so forth about how this has made us realise that we can't actually solve anything and we could be wiped out in a moment. So, you know, the technological trust that Western culture has is being really threatened, and that's a good thing.
You know, and people are asking questions, aren't they? That people are even saying, you know, what does this mean? You know, is this from God? Is this... Now, some people are saying, is this from God? Now, I think we mentioned last time, you know, people are talking about, often the question comes, you know, why suffering? They're not so much asking that, it seems, at the moment. They're asking more about, you know, what is this to teach us? What's God teaching us? Or they're saying, what's creation teaching us? So you've got those kind of conversations happening. But at the same time as well, as this goes on longer, people's fears and worries and uncertainties are going up because it's now moving away from health into my finance. What about the economy? You know, as companies come out with job reductions and, you know, cuts, etc., people are beginning fearful. People are beginning to think, not just, oh my goodness me, I'm not going to get my holiday this year, but they're now beginning to worry about their job, their savings, their you know, their pensions. You know, what's going to happen? And that all presents opportunities for us to keep going in that sense, to talk about the gospel. Now, I don't know whether we've lost Graham or he's just gone a bit frozen.
Are you there, Graham?
Could just be you and me, Josh, now. Could be the Mark and Josh Ordinary Podcast. Just you and me.
It's what we've always wanted. Oh, what a shame.
Oh, no. Oh. Oh, the advantages of COVID.
I was here all the time. I heard every word, so I'm upset.
Okay. It's just that your hand came across the screen.
I know. I was just switching something over, which is now better.
Never switch things over.
Oh, yeah,
it's a risk. Sorry, Mark. What were you saying there?
Yeah, no, well, thanks, Josh. Let me recap. I was basically just saying, you know, the fears and anxieties are going up, so we're going to have a chance to speak into financial stuff, worries, concerns, jobs.
Yes.
Particularly as the health stuff moves on. So, in other words, there's plenty of opportunity to talk. Now, that's going to be with our immediate neighbours, but that's also probably true of our family, of our friends, that these conversations are happening. And we've got to be praying for the boldness and the courage to then speak into that. And we know what to say in those kind of circumstances.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, we have been saying, in and with some degree of truth to it, that part of the barrier to evangelism in Western culture and in the UK at the moment is everyone's pretty self-satisfied. We live in a pretty affluent area. People are very busy. So some of those things have been taken away from people. So the reasonable degree of certainty that statistically we'll live reasonably long lives and be reasonably prosperous, that's been taken away. Statistically, we're less likely, a little bit less likely, to live long, healthy lives, a little bit less likely to be prosperous. And we're certainly not quite so well entertained as we were before. So, you know, we're not able to go out every night, we're not allowed to socialise, we're not going to big events, football matches or concerts, or, you know, going to the races or whatever.
And significantly, a major shift has happened up and down our land. That is, church is now coming into your home. You know, so we were one of those few churches where, you know, we had a live stream anyway, and we did it mainly for those who couldn't get out in our own congregation, who, you know, therefore could be involved in the service. But now, How many churches have live stream and are kind of, you know, we know local parish churches where they're kind of reaching 500, 600, 700 people on their live streams. They'd never get that on a Sunday morning, but because now people haven't got anything to do necessarily on a Sunday, they can't do all that they were doing. And more than that, they can sit in their pyjamas and eat their croissants whilst watching. They're now kind of engaging in ways that they haven't done. Now, it's a short-lived thing. So, you know, we're praying that the Lord would use that. But how do we then build on that when we come out the other side? But it is interesting how there are opportunities that we just didn't have. You know, I have friends who are watching Christchurch live stream who haven't, you know, I think probably come maybe once in 6, 7 years, you know, 10 years of me knowing them on a Sunday service, but are now watching, you know, because, you know, there's opportunity. So I think, you know, there are opportunities, and then we've got to build on that, you know, in terms of what we do next. And I think that's the interesting question.
Yeah. Just by the way, I take the Boris Johnson view of these things that if you're going to engage in sort of interactive electronic meetings, you put a suit and tie on, like he does for his stuff.
You do?
Even when he was ill, he seemed to have like a proper shirt and a suit jacket on. Even when he was about 2 days later to go into hospital, he seemed to have got up and got dressed, you know, so I like that.
And, so will you be wearing a tie then on Sunday morning?
No, I was speaking sort of using that as a symbol of, you know, having a garb and a dress. But I was being flippant anyway. It was either that or commenting on the croissants, thinking, who during lockdown should be eating croissants? You should be eating the cheapest bread and leaving the croissants for the vulnerable or something. But I was being flippant about that as well. But that's how lockdown gets you. Your sense of humour becomes warped.
It does.
But I agree with you.
Croissant fun.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's lots of people tuning in, some of them for short periods, some of them for a bit longer. There's things that would never happen normally that people wouldn't normally walk in our church building, listen to the service for 5 minutes and then leave. You can do that electronically, which is annoying. You want people to kind of strap in and hear the whole message. So there are those brief encounters, but, you know, they're, I suppose to put it crudely, better than nothing, aren't they? They're something.
And so, you know, then building on that, you know, do invite, you know, so we, Graham's running an online Christianity Explored course. People on it are actually from up north and in a different country. So, again, opportunity that we'd have never had. Now, but I would want to encourage, you know, the listeners to kind of think about, could they run their own version of Christianity Explored online with their mates right now? Because most of us aren't going out. Well, you can't. So what else are you doing? And maybe this is a chance. You've got a friend who's always kind of been thinking about, well, no, I'll do it at some point. Say to them, you know, let's do it now. You know, the video stuff is all downloadable. You can share it through Zoom. You can watch the video together. You can talk together. People are doing Doctor Who kind of fests all together on Zoom from around the world. Why not do something called Christianity Explored? And you know, if it's just one-on-one, what does it matter? You watch the video together, you have a conversation. Or you get two or three of your mates. But, you know, actually, if people feel less threatened because you're not in a room, they feel actually they've got the time, you know, and maybe even a kind of sense of, well, I've got nothing else better to do. Well, brilliant. If you've got nothing else better to do, why not think about and investigate Christianity, because who knows how it might change your life. But I think we've just got to be a bit bolder and creative in kind of inviting that, you know, making most of the publicity. You know, we're thinking of ways, you know, how to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we're going a bit of hardware, like we're going to put a banner outside the church building just to be more prominent. But also we're looking at probably more social media advertising than we've ever looked at, just because this is the primary way we're connecting with people. And social media advertising isn't just about cold reaching people. It does find its way to people who do sometimes have a connection. It's just we haven't sort of made it. We haven't interacted with them recently. But there's a lot of people on social media who are not even seeing a lot of our stuff, just because that's the way social media works, sadly. So they might be interested, but they're just not seeing it. So, yeah, looking at all those kind of practical means as well, we are.
So here's a creative way. So my brother-in-law, his church, they have a catering team who, you know, do the catering regularly for all their kind of church teas, etc. They put together little kind of church teas for the vulnerable in their community and just kind of sent them out and taken them out. Now, there's just little ways of kind of being creative in a lockdown that's kind of reaching those who are in need with examples of love, and kind of building the relationship with them and talking and having opportunities to talk about Jesus with them. You know, it's just, are there things that we can do that are a little bit more creative? You know, baking a cake for the neighbour across the road, we know he's just had a rubbish day because we've just spoken with them, or giving them something. And, you know, there's lots of little helpful tracts out there. And they may not be the best thing to give to someone, but it just gives opportunities to then talk about, you know, how's your day been, or how, you know, thinking more spiritually. But I guess it's trying to be a little bit more creative because we've got time and people are around. And because I think there is a temptation to think we can't do anything because we're all locked in. Therefore, we don't need to do any evangelism. Whereas I think we want to be saying, actually, let's think about how we can evangelize more or just a bit more creatively because people are talking. And so let's use it. Let's capitalize.
Yeah. And if you can't make it, or you think it's not the thing you want to do, there's lots of online caterers who can do stuff that you could give to other people. So my relative recently had a child, and they got a big box of a kind of a high tea with sandwiches and cake and lots of lovely stuff sent by, you know, delivery from some caterer locally by a friend. So if you don't want to make anything, you either don't feel able or you're worried about the hygiene issues or something, then there's loads of companies online who will do stuff, and you can brand it, you know, put your own greeting card in there and send it on. So yeah, that's a brilliant idea. If someone could get me a McDonald's hamburger delivered, because they're all closed at the moment, that would be a real love gift.
Do you know what? We had a pizza last night, and our neighbour made some nice, like, sauce. You know, it was supposed to be barbecue sauce, but it tasted more like the Big Mac kind of sandwich. So we kind of lovely. It was really good. A Big Mac pizza, in effect. I called it the hamburger, but the boys wanted to name it Big Mac pizza. But yeah,
living the dream.
It was good.
Yeah, I mean, that's just us being a bit self-indulgent. But yeah, but I mean, you can love. Yeah, it's all part of the wider creation. But, you know, if that sort of idea that you just suggested is a great idea, and other things you can send people, there's lots of stuff you can order online.
I think just all of that is good, just in terms of thinking about these last few minutes.
Yeah.
I think the kind of things that we're offering people, isn't it? It's not that we're just saying to people, and I think I want to broaden our language of evangelism, you know, away from just talk about the cross, talk about, you know, judgment, hell, sin, all of those things we want to be there. But actually at this time is, where are you finding your rest? Where are you finding your hope? Where are you finding peace? Where are you finding comfort? You know, how, you know, all of those things that Jesus talks about, those who are weary, come to me and I'll find you, give you rest. Well, what does Jesus mean by that? You're talking about rest, you're wearisome. You know, the fundamental things that we're holding dear in our lives as believers are the very things that are becoming unstuck for many. So it's, that's where I think in terms of our evangelism, sometimes we just get locked into our kind of very simple, narrow gospel tract. You know, Jesus died for your sins, he was punished, and all of that, we're going to have that. But it's also thinking about all the other ways that Jesus talks about how he draws people to himself, how he seeks people, how he loves people, how he feeds people, how he satisfies people. You know, could you imagine, you know, in a lockdown, how Jesus would be? Or, you know, could you imagine, just thinking in those kind of ways of the wider gospel story and talking to people about it, of how that gospel is connecting into our lives at this time and in this season. You guys are both sitting there kind of, Josh looks like he's slightly struggling at the end of a long day.
I was thinking that was very, very good, and I agree. I was also thinking me and Mark have just got on and on, and Josh, you haven't had a chance to say very much, so I was feeling a little bit sorry for you. That's why I didn't jump in. But also, I'm observing Zoom protocol, you know, waiting till you finished properly.
Or use emojis.
No, I'm perfectly fine. I was just sitting there thinking about what you said, reflecting deeply on it. I think that's really good. I was wondering also in my head about music, which is something that obviously is near and dear to me, and how... I think that I've seen some really nice examples of Christians amongst themselves sort of sharing a song a day or something, now that just to encourage one another with some truth. But I think you could also apply that in an evangelistic way and kind of share songs with non-Christians, Christian songs, I mean, with non-Christians that have a kind of message of hope or or peace or something like that. And I think that that's quite, I haven't done it, but what you were saying there was making me think that that could be a really nice way in.
Yeah.
By sharing.
Do you know any good bands?
I know this.
I mean, that's the problem. I just struggled to know which kind of bands to send, really. Do you know what I mean? Like, I kind of think, do I know any?
As well as Lion of Judah. So what's Lion of Judah if you don't know of them already? But we've started recording every week two or three songs for use in our Sunday morning service by people from the congregation, yes, from the band. And so those are worth playing. And actually, I think I've put all of them up on social media sort of one by one over the few days after the Sunday. And they get reasonable reaction, probably more so than the sermons do, because they're more instantly sort of accessible, aren't they?
You know, bite size, yeah.
Play it.
I haven't noticed, Graham, that you've cut and pasted, you know, where you and I sing lead in there. I mean, really, they should be on there as well, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there.
I think once is enough to hear it. it's right, and it's good that we're doing it, but I think once is enough, whereas the others have had a bit more time and crafting in them, so they're...
Is that what you're putting it down to? Time and crafting?
Yeah. What else is there, Josh? What other factors could possibly be at play in that?
Talent?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, indeed. But, you know, they are Christian songs, so the anyone could do it given enough time, I suppose. I but, see. Yeah, the time, talent and crafting went into them, which was better than ours. But, yeah, so those... Just to get back on the point, those are good. I'll continue doing that. But you know, if anyone listening wants to share some of those songs, and you know, what I'm not very good at is, because I'm always doing these things in a hurry, is thinking, you know, if I shared, you know, there is a hope that can't think how that could, there is a hope that
burns within my heart.
Stands burns within my heart. Thank you. It was the stands the test of time is a different a verse. Anyway, that's the one. So. What would be good is if you share that song, but you just say a little half sentence as to why you're sharing it.
Yeah.
Just the way social media works, that will get much more interaction.
Yeah, I think that would be really good. And I think the last thing that I was thinking was you can share podcasts with people. I think, again, like...
there any good ones?
Content is... I'm setting you up and you're knocking them out of the park every single time. I'm just thinking it's a time where content is king, right? People are looking for stuff to watch and do and listen to and be stimulated by intellectually. So you could send them a podcast. You could send them an ordinary podcast if you wanted to, or any number of other really good Christian podcasts that are out there, and just give them some food for thought.
We should live stream this podcast so people can see a recording just for content is king.
You'd have to put some trousers on that if we were going to do that.
I'll put my suit and tie on. The thing is, I think there is a really good advert for Ordinary, a little YouTube advert, video advert. So if you're listening and you haven't seen that advert yet and haven't shared it, then shame on you. You need to find it on Christchurch YouTube channel and start sharing it around to publicise Ordinary.
That'd be brilliant.
But more importantly, tell people about Jesus.
Well, indeed.
They're all means of telling people about Jesus. That's what we're really about, sharing him in this time.
Yeah, and I think just even talking about it for the half an hour we have has given me some more ideas.
Yeah.
I suppose it kind of resets you for doing the things that you know you should be doing. A bit like evangelism in any time, but I suppose just reflecting on how it works in COVID is really helpful, and hopefully helpful to people who are listening.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Ordinary. Leave a rating and a review, and come back next week for another episode of Ordinary.